I'm Deacon Mike, and thank you for joining me as we look at the Gospel of John. This Gospel does not have a specific name listed in the text as the author, but in the narrative, the author identifies himself in chapter 21, verse 24, as the disciple whom Jesus loved best. This is the disciple who was bearing witness to these things, is a statement equivalent to the evangelist's personal signature. The son of Zebedee, John is an Israelite who knows Jewish traditions and details about geography. He is one of the 12 present at the Last Supper and witnessed the resurrection. He is part of the inner circle along with Peter and James. These three are the only ones Jesus renames and accompanied Jesus in pivotal moments in his ministry. While no specific date has been determined, it was written at least 60 years after the Jesus event and is a product of a developed theological reflection. Scholarly study shows that this gospel has been written primarily for Jewish Christians throughout the Mediterranean world. It has a strong Jewish flavor with details that have no explanations. None would be needed for a Jewish audience. The Samaritans, a breakaway sect from Judaism, are presented in a positive light, so they are also part of the intended audience. The gospel is written for those who believe to give them strength. There are details not provided in the Synoptic Gospels, and there are differences in this narrative from John. The Synoptics focus on Galilee with one trip to Jerusalem, while John has several trips to Jerusalem, ministering only briefly in Galilee and Samaria. The Synoptic Gospels have Jesus beginning his ministry after the arrest of John the Baptist, while the Gospel of John shows Jesus ministering before the Baptist is arrested. Matthew, Mark, and Luke focus on the actions of the Last Supper, while John focuses on Jesus as the bread of life. John's Gospel is written to supplement the other authentic Gospels in circulation. Those Gospels provided the basics, while John is showing there's a higher meaning behind it all. It is identified as a spiritual Gospel, less action and more discourse on the identity and mission of Jesus. The Gospel is not simply history, but it is a narrative that is organized and adapted for theological purpose. Divided into four parts, it begins with the prologue, chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Next comes the Book of Signs, chapter 1, verse 19 through chapter 12, verse 50. These were seven signs or miracles that Jesus performed to show his true nature, that he was the promised Messiah from of old. These seven signs include the wedding feast at Cana, the curing of the official son, the cure of the paralytic at the pool in the temple, the multiplication of bread, walking on water, the man born blind, and the raising of Lazarus. With the raising of Lazarus, Jesus' hour has arisen, and we move from the Book of Signs to the Book of Glory, the Book of Reality, that Jesus, the Son of God, is preparing them for life when he is no longer physically present. While fewer actions are performed, these are highly dramatic and are followed by a discourse that explains each of them. To accompany the seven signs, there are seven statements where Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection, and the life, the way, the truth, the life, the true vine, and culminate with Thomas proclaiming, "My Lord and my God." The author's purpose is clearly expressed in chapter 20, verse 30 through 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. Truly, they are words of everlasting life.